You, 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 and you. They pointed a finger as though choosing cattle or merchandise.
Okay, Eli and his father have been moved to another part of Auschwitz, a forced labor camp called Buna. As they try to adjust to their new surroundings, they have a hard time figuring out how to obey orders and avoid trouble. The head of the camp seems to treat his fellow prisoners pretty well. He makes sure that the children are getting food. But one thing Eli has discovered is that people aren't always as kind as they seem. No one in power can be trusted. Only two things matter: staying with his father and surviving. Eli and his father will be assigned to a group of workers, but first they are checked out by the camp doctors. If they can't convince the doctors that they're healthy, they'll be put to death. The dentist, meanwhile, is only interested in Ellie's gold tooth, which is worth some money to the Nazis. I worry that the gold tooth will be yanked from Ellie's mouth, which will cause him a huge amount of pain. Let's continue on page 47 with the sentence beginning, "We followed our capo."
We followed our capo, a young man. He made us stop at the entrance to the first block near the door of the camp. This was the orchestra block. "Go in," he ordered. We were surprised. What had we to do with music? The band played a military march, always the same one. Dozens of units left for the workyards in step. The capos beat time. Left, right, left, right. Some SS officers, pen and paper in hand, counted the men as they went out. The band went on playing the same march until the last unit had gone by. Then the conductor's baton was still. The band stopped dead, and the capos yelled, "Form fives!" We left the camp without music, but in step, we still had the sound of the march in our ears. Left, right, left, right. We started talking to the musicians next to us. We drew up in ranks of five with the musicians. They were nearly all Jews. Juliek, a bespectacled Pole with a cynical smile on his pale face. Louis, a distinguished violinist who came from Holland. He complained that they would not let him play Beethoven. Jews were not allowed to play German music. Hans, a lively young Berliner, and the foreman was a Pole, Franek, a former student from Warsaw. Juliek explained to me, "We work in a warehouse for electrical equipment not far from here. The work isn't the least difficult or dangerous, but Edek, the capo, has bouts of madness now and then when it's best to keep out of his way." "You're lucky, son," smiled Hans. "You've landed in a good unit." 10 minutes later, we were in front of the warehouse. A German employee, a civilian, the Meister, came to meet us. He paid us about as much attention as a dealer might who was just receiving a delivery of old rags.